Well, let's get started. Council will please come to order. Carla, would you please read the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Thank you very much. The mayor is on vacation this week, so as the president of council, I will preside. Due to the absence of two council members, we will not be hearing emergency items today. We have five council communications. Carla, would you please read item number 49?
Yes.
Request of Michael Krupp to address council regarding a third cent added to the kitty. He called and is not able to make it.
Okay, we'll reschedule. Would you please read item number 50?
Request of Donna Cohen to address council regarding Fessenden-St. Louis Corridor and the Streetcar Concept Plan 2009.
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Ms. Cohen, welcome to Portland City Council.
Nice to be back here.
You have 3 minutes,
okay.
And we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. Well, I wanted to give an update on Fessenden-St. Louis. You probably all know we got the ODOT funding for the improvements, which we're very excited about. And the little neighborhood group that has formed around getting that funded, called Citizens for a Safe and Attractive Fessenden-St. Louis, a bit of a mouthful, I know, has continued to meet. We've done 3 cleanups along the corridor. We've had a safety workshop. We're going to have another safety workshop with Women's Strength, and we're talking about doing foot patrols. We're also starting to look at business development and affordable housing. We had a couple of folks from REACH CDC come and speak with us last month, and I have met with people from the Housing Bureau, from Commissioner Saltzman's office, and John Miller of Oregon Opportunity Network. So, you know, we want development, and we'd like to be part of that process. Another thing I want to mention is George Park. Bon Hill and I went to the Parks and Rec Budget Forum the other night. George Park is a park that abuts Fessenden. It, like Fessenden, it's been a rather neglected place, very few amenities, and we're thinking this is the perfect time to try to make improvements to George Park concurrent with the changes to Fessenden. There's safety issues in that area, and because of the condition of the park and sort of the desolate nature of everything, if we were to improve George Park along with Fessenden, it would encourage people to use it, and of course there'd be more pedestrians we're expecting along Fessenden, and that would be a great synergy, which would result in a much safer neighborhood, as well as just the use of those facilities. And lastly, I want to mention the streetcar concept plan. You'll notice the picture at the bottom of the sheet there shows that in the original streetcar system in Portland, there was a loop in Fessenden, in St. John's. Fessenden, St. Louis, and Lombard made a streetcar loop, which it makes it very, very convenient for people in North Fessenden and Portsmouth and New Columbia to get to the St. John's Town Center. But although I've listed some reasons here why it would be beneficial, I'm not here to make that case. What I am here to say is that in the streetcar concept plan, which was developed in 2009, if you look at the initial maps in the plan, they show the loop. And then at the point where the public involvement process happened, the maps no longer showed the loop. So we never got a chance to be able to weigh in on this as an option. And we feel that that's an omission in the plan that should be corrected, and that the St. John's Portsmouth community should have a chance to you know, evaluate and look at the idea of having the loop in on a St. John's streetcar route rather than just beyond Lombard. So I thank you very much for the opportunity to talk with you.
Ms. Cohen, since you're here and you've given us a very thoughtful letter and testimony, may I just ask you, with respect to George Park and the amenities, has the community identified any particular
Commissioner
amenities?
Fish, if I might interrupt as the Parks Commissioner.
Well, here we have the Parks Commissioner.
Okay, all right. Thank you to both of you.
And what we have been doing, as you know, because you went to the budget hearing, is asking the different neighborhood districts to get together and give us your priorities. As Commissioner Fish knows, having been in charge of parks, we have over $450 million of projects that we want to do and over $400 million of deferred maintenance.
Yes.
So with very small amount of dollars, I've been conducting a community process. Have you been participating in
that? Yes, I went to one where you had to arrive late for a good reason. So we were at that one, and Vaughn and I are planning to continue to look into, you know, getting the community involved and giving feedback to Parks and Rec.
So the North Portland Neighborhood Office is coordinating the neighborhoods, and we really, you know, I love all 95 neighborhoods and all 206 parks, so I need you, yes, the community, to prioritize which ones we put our scarce dollars into.
Right, and George Park wasn't even on the radar originally,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, you've done a good job of getting it. So.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a lot of things in that part of St. John's that have not been on the radar, but are now getting on the radar. Fessenden is now being looked at for multi-use as well.
Is there an existing Friends of George Park?
There isn't, but maybe that's something that we should consider doing.
It has proven to be effective in other parks to sort of build the grassroots support.
Yes. Well, we'll definitely talk about that.
Thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you very much.
Carla, would you please read the next item, 51?
Request of Amber Dunks to address council regarding R2-D2.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. You have 3 minutes.
Okay, first off, I'm going to start about the police sweeps, where the police are taking people's belongings, which many times is things that people need to survive, blankets, warmer clothes, which is pretty much an equivalent to a death sentence out in the streets. From what I understand, the mayor took over the police department, which means he should be able to do something about these sweeps. We were told that they're not happening in town yet after we got out of a meeting with one of his aides less than 2 blocks from here. People who were following the sidewalk management plan, as it's put into place here in Portland, were being harassed by the police. Now, we see this again and again and again here in Portland, where people will be the correct number of feet away from the curb, have their belongings with them, and the police will stop and harass them. That needs to stop. And I would really like to see the mayor and the people in city council stop that. Also, I have a list here. We were told at Rights Dream 2 that we need to prove ourselves. I have a list here of the top 20 places for 911 calls in the city of Portland. We are not on this list. Portland Rescue Mission, however, is number one, and the Bud Clark Commons, which are both city sanctioned, is number two. So I'm wondering why those places are okay, but Right to Dream 2 is not. Also, one of the things I tell the people at Right to Dream 2, and I'm going to tell the city commissioners, I really wish the mayor was here. I always strive to have them be a better person. That doesn't mean be better than everybody else. That means be a better person than you were yesterday. Always keep working on yourself. So that's one thing that I want the city council to work on. Also, there's two things that you can be in these times. That's part of the problem and part of the solution. If you're just standing idly by, you are not part of the solution. You are part of the problem. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. In honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday is Monday, I believe, he said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Right to Dream 2 and Right to Survive know that this is a time of challenge and controversy, and we stand with people protecting their civil, constitutional, and human rights regardless of social, economic status, or housing status, and I challenge the people of the City Council to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Dunks. Carla, would you please read item number 52?
Request of Brad Gibson to address Council regarding Right to Dream 2.
Mr. Gibson, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. You have 3 minutes.
Oh, I knew that. Good morning, folks. Thank you for listening to me. My name is Brad Gibson. I'm on the board, Right to Dream 2. As far as I know, we have an agreement with Commander Day about, you know, we had set down the guidelines that there was supposed to be pictures if a policeman was supposed to come up to our gate and they wanted to find somebody. They had to have a picture, the warrant, the reason for pulling them. And we would help them secure the person if they were in. Okay. An officer with no probable cause tries to come up and question a member as she was walking from Sisters of the Road. Anyway, the member, this has happened about three different times. By the same officer. Okay, if they are that blatant disregard to our police agreement, what happens to people without that police agreement in place? There's a lot of anger being out here on the street now. We've been, with the sweeps, the sleep deprivation, and clean and safe trashing. Trashing people's personal items and tearing down their camps. And in the middle of the winter, we went and visited a place underneath the Morrison Bridge, and everybody had a nice place to stay out of the cold, little cardboard shanties to keep the wind off them. The next day, they were swept. Now, that just doesn't seem right to me. Okay, anyway, they come to our gates, and we see the aggression. We're supposed to be a mutual, clean, safe area. No harassing at our gates. When the police, when we police ourselves, we have virtually no 911 calls. So we're the least of your worries. So we do civil rights trainings for our members, and also if anybody else wants to come aboard, we'll teach them. We also report through Cop Watch and the Internet Individual Police Review. So that won't get them anywhere. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carla, would you please read item number 53?
Request of Chris L. Meisner to address council regarding Right to Dream 2.
Mr. Meisner, welcome to City Council.
Good day, Council.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Right to Dream 2 is very necessary. I mean, before the Christmas season, we put out a request for donations of gear, sleeping gear, stuff for people to survive, and it went viral. Hundreds of people came down and donated, and we got an abundance of gear. We turned around, we got this gear out to people. What frustrates me is 2 days later, Clean and Safe and the police working in cahoots swept people and got their gear and chucked it. This one lady was out in front of UGM. She goes and gets something to eat. She was gone from her stuff maybe 15 minutes. Her stuff got swooped up. Now, houseless people steal from houseless people all the time. We don't need Clean and Safe doing it too. Okay? And in my opinion, Clean and Safe is one of the biggest thieves out there. And in doing that, you're taking their gear and stuff like that, their blankets, and the temperature's dropping. That person should die. That's, in my book, premeditated murder by the authorities and the person running the cops. And that, in my opinion, I mean, you guys have a problem with people sleeping on the sidewalks. Isn't it logical to make more Right to Dream 2s here in Portland, Oregon? To provide more space for them to crash out and not be on the sidewalks? That's all I got to say.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we're now going to move to our regular agenda. Carla, would you please read item number 54?
Authorize second issuance of general obligation bonds for fire vehicles and emergency response infrastructure.
Do we have someone here from OMF?
I believe that's been pulled to a later date.
All right, so without objection, we'll pull this back to the mayor's
office. They're rescheduling this to next week.
Very good. Thank you, Carla. If you could please, now we have a series of second readings. If you could read item number 55.
Authorize a contract for construction of the Rose City Park Sewer Rehabilitation Project, E10345, for $6,410,000.
Second reading, vote only.
Fritz?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. It passes. Would you please read item number 56?
Authorize a cost share agreement with BNSF Railway Company for $185,483, project E09017.
Vote only.
Fritz?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. It passes. Carla, would you please read item number 57?
Amend contract with Brown and Caldwell, Inc. for additional work and compensation for the Fano Basin System Improvements Project E09051 and E10317 for $164,634.
Second reading. Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Matter passes. Carla, would you please read item number 58?
Authorize the Bureau of Transportation to issue a quitclaim deed, bill of sale, and two assignments to TriMet for two positions of the Willamette Shoreline Railroad right-of-way and related assets.
This is a second reading.
This is being rescheduled. It needs four votes.
Oh,
that's right. Sorry about that.
So this that objection, that. This matter will be returned to Commissioner, will be rescheduled.
Yeah.
Council, since I'm the president of the council and it's just the three of us, I thought I would close by entertaining any motions you may want to make for any budget modifications. limited, of course, to your respective bureaus.
I have a list, but I think I'll defer. Thank you for the opportunity.
If I could just, in the waning moments, just observe that tonight I have the honor of being one of the judges at the We the People program. And we're expecting probably 1,000 students, teachers, coaches at Lake Oswego High School. And in the last couple of years, Steve, my recollection is that a Oregon high school has either won the national championship or been very or been in the top five.
I think we've won 2 years in a row. I'm not certain of that.
The national championship.
Yeah.
And so it's a really inspiring thing to see these young people grapple with the Constitution and then debate. And it's also inspiring to see some new schools and new groups of students get involved. Lincoln and Grant sort of have had taken turns being state champions, but it's also rewarding to see Park Rose and other schools step up and their kids do so well.
It was last year, a number of the contestants were really focused on the filibuster, so I suspect that a lot of them were very pleased with Senator Merkley and the change in the rules was made a few weeks ago.
Well, and what we're going to talk about tonight is that with the initiative and referendum system, many of these complicated constitutional questions actually first get decided at the state level. And so a lot of the young people in the room will be deciding, you know, whether we follow, you know, the sort of traditional view of states' rights, whether we get into conflict with the federal government on certain regulatory matters. And they will cast potentially decisive votes. So it's kind of exciting to bring it full circle. Well, with that, we hope the mayor is enjoying his vacation, and council is adjourned.
A new world record, I think.